Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph. That is shouting ground, brother. That is shouting ground. Well, we just prayed a prayer. Did you hear the prayer?
Yes.
Are you in agreement with the prayer?
Yes.
Please be. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now, and I'm not going to talk about it today. Okay. I believe the Lord's impressed me to interrupt our regular programming with this word. Because I believe we don't need to wait. We need to talk about this now, and I don't know the reasons why. I don't have to know. Don't need to know. I just need to obey. But are you believing with me?
Yes.
Please, for the utterance. You know, nobody can reveal truth to somebody else. That takes the Holy Spirit. And no matter how clear something might be to you, you can't express it without Holy Spirit utterance and direction. And no matter how clear and anointed it might be, you can't hear it and get it without Holy Spirit revelation.
Yes.
Right? It's got to be on both sides. So go with me to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and we will we'll get into this. 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Everybody say, lay hold.
Lay hold.
Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, notice that those first couple of phrases. He said, fight. And then he mentioned fight again. And then he said, lay hold. Everybody said out loud, fight.
Fight.
The good fight.
The good fight.
Lay hold.
Lay hold.
Now, I've heard people say in recent times that the biggest thing we needed to do was to understand God's grace and just let go and let God. And basically, you see what I'm talking about? Is that what this says?
No.
Fight the good fight of faith.
And lay hold.
Let go.
No.
Huh?
No.
Just let go.
No.
Well, let go and lay hold. Is that almost the same thing?
No.
Not even close.
Now, if you're talking about let go of your worry.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let go of your fears, your doubts. Cast all your cares over on the Lord.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Let go of that.
Right.
Yes. But to become passive and say it's just all up to God, that's not what the Bible teaches.
Nope.
That's not how you live by faith and walk by faith. Look at it again. What did it say? What's the first word?
Fight.
Huh?
Fight.
Look at your neighbor. Help him out. Say, you got to fight.
You
got to fight. Is fighting easy?
No.
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 Fighting involves effort.
That's right.
It can involve strenuous effort.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. Fighting can involve struggle. Intensity, effort. So this is not just lying on the sofa, enjoying an iced tea. Right? This is you resisting something and laying hold of something and holding on to something. Right? Why? Do you have to wrestle what you need out of the hand of God?
No,
you do not. He's the one who gave it to you.
That's right?
Right?
Yep.
Jesus bought and paid for it. And grace, thank God for grace, has freely given it to us.
Right.
But we live in a curse-filled, death-filled, darkness-filled place full of evil spirits, full of the enemy who will always oppose you from receiving from God. And you got to be strong, and you've got to persist, and you got to fight. And you got to lay hold. Somebody say fight.
Fight.
Lay hold.
Lay hold.
Now turn over a page or two to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy 4. Now this is sometime later, and this is near the end of Paul's life and ministry. And in chapter 4, verse 5, 2 Timothy 4 and 5, Paul is telling Timothy and everybody else that they read the letter to, and all of us, watch in all things. Endure afflictions. That's going to take some effort. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was soon to leave this world. You know, notice what he calls his death.
Departure.
It's not cessation of existence. It's a departure. Every time I read that, of course, I'm into aviation, so we have departures and arrivals, right? You go to the airport, what do you see up on the board? Arrivals, departures. Now, just because you saw somebody departed doesn't mean you cried like there's no tomorrow and said, oh, they're lost forever. No, they just departed. They didn't disappear. They didn't cease to exist. They just departed. So if you could be in the spirit and back off, you know, about where our astronauts went a few days ago and see the earth from a distance, you would see a continual stream of arrivals and departures of human spirits. They're arriving and departing by the scores of thousands every day. And the Lord doesn't come beforehand, you and I will depart this place. And you should look forward to it. Not dread it. Not be afraid of it. Now, you need to be ready to go today. Now. Right? Because this world's a dangerous place. And there's a lot of people leaving that didn't expect to leave as soon as they did. You want to fight to live your whole life out and not be robbed, but you don't want to wait till later to get ready to depart. You want to be ready to go today. Now, he said, I'm ready. Don't you like the sound of that? I'm ready. Somebody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
He said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Now see, he exhorted back in the first letter, Timothy and all of us, to do it. And he's not telling him and us to do something he didn't do. And he's describing his whole life as this faith fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Do you know there's a lot of church-going people who don't finish their course. They leave early. They did not run their full race. They were robbed of years they could have had. Now they went to be with the Lord, which is far better than being here. They're saved, but they missed out on reward they could have had. And you can say, well, I don't care as long as I get to heaven. You say that now. Eternity is a long time.
That's right.
And these rewards never fade. So you don't want to be, this life is short as it is. You don't want to let the devil rob you of 1 year, of 1 month. You want to do what Paul said. You want to finish your course. Huh? You want to run your entire race and finish your complete course, and so then that you are ready, satisfied. Hallelujah. Ready to depart. Quit trying to figure out where I'm going to go next. And hook with me right now, please. Because if we don't get this, there ain't no need in going. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
Are you in agreement with me?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Say it out loud. I don't have to be robbed
of any part of my life.
I will leave here when God and I get good and ready
for me to leave.
I will finish
my course
with joy by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't leave early.
Amen.
Why am I saying that? Millions are leaving early. And you know one of the big reasons why? Won't fight. Did y'all hear me?
Yes.
Won't fight. I had the privilege of working at Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, his ministry and his healing school for 15 plus years. Every day. And that we just ministered on healing and faith for healing. And in 15 years, you know, you see some things. And I saw people that didn't receive and died early. I saw people who got miracles.
Amen.
And I mean, they when they came to us, their prognosis was they should have been dead a month ago.
Right.
And they lived another 40 years. I'm thinking of one right now, a woman. And this was way back, many decades ago. They operated on her, and she was so bad, they just kind of clamped her up and you know, sent her home to die. And they said all of her insides and her organs were pretty much destroyed. She completely recovered. And they said it was impossible, but then she conceived and had a son.
Amen.
And he was a preacher. He's a pastor today. And she only recently went home to be with the Lord, what, a year or two ago in her 90s.
Amen.
But everyone like her that I can tell you about, every one of them, fighters. Are y'all awake or not?
Yes.
Fighters. Now don't judge anybody that left early. Because unless and until you are where they were and you're in their shoes, huh? You know, pain gets old. And you can get weary and you can get tired and you just want to go. And so never judge anybody for doing that. But on the other hand, all things are possible to him or her that believes, right? And you can overcome. And there's nothing too hard for God to heal. There is nothing, nothing too hard for God to heal. Somebody say fight. You got to fight. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. That's us. Back up to verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You will have to be a fighter to finish your course. Do you see why we're talking about this?
Yes.
You will have to be. Now, go with me to the book of James. James, the second chapter. James chapter 2, he's talking about faith. And he keeps mentioning the word works in connection with faith. In James 2, let's see. He said, let me back up here to about verse 14. What does it profit? This is James 2, 14. What does it profit, my brothers, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Now, the word works here could be translated doing. And a lot of times people read this and they associate it with works of the law. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about doing something. Action. Doing something. If somebody says they have faith and they have no doing, can faith save him? Can that kind of faith save him? What's the answer, the implied answer? There is a faith that gets no results. It's dead faith. Dead faith is faith that says it believes but does nothing. Are y'all with me? Does nothing. Now keep reading. He said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace. This is verse 16. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit or benefit? And what's the implied answer? Nothing. Now, this is confession and declaration without doing.
Yes.
Are y'all away?
Yes.
And he said it amounts to nothing. Your confession has got to be accompanied with doing something. Y'all are too quiet. Huh? Verse 17, then he branches it out to the whole subject of faith. Even so, faith, if it doesn't have doing, is dead. Being alone. He said, a man may say, you have faith, I have doing. Show me your faith without your doing, I'll show you my faith by my doing. Faith is not just an abstract thing. Faith, yes, faith speaks. Faith makes confessions and declarations. But it also does a number of things that accompany the confession. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Now, he says a lot more about it, but in verse 26, he sums it up again. He said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or doing is dead. Let me read this to you from the New Century Version. New Century, verse 14 says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? Verse 26, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Now, when it comes to your life, when it comes to finishing your days, you cannot be passive. You've got to be willing to fight. And that involves both spiritually and naturally. It involves both dimensions, both realms. This would have been 40 years ago now, just about it. I was teaching at Rhema Bible Training Center, and a good friend of mine was an elder Bible teacher, and he was old enough to be my grandfather, a wonderful man. And a tremendous Bible teacher. And he and I would talk and have lunch at different times. And And he was, like I said, old enough to be my grandfather. He was getting on up in age. And he had a physical ailment that had been bothering him for a couple of years. And someone had told him, you know, that there was a procedure that he could get that would help with that. And he said, well, no, he just wanted to trust God. And he didn't want to use any means, was a phrase they used in the day. Didn't want to use any means. And so over the next year or so, it got substantially worse. And I prayed for him just privately, but I just felt like something wasn't right. And so one time I just popped in on him and I asked him about it, about that procedure and thing. And he said, well, yeah, they said, you know, I'd probably fix it and we'd go on. And he said, but I want to please God and I want to use my faith and I don't want to use means. And I don't want means to get the glory. I want God to get the glory. And reasonable, but something bothered me about it. Amen. And so I prayed some more, and in praying about it, the Lord brought something up to me. And so I said, okay, well, I'll share it with him. And so I went to him again, and I said, asked him about it, and he brought it up again. And I said, well, I called his name. I said, if you had a splinter in your finger, what would you do? I mean, the splinter is in the finger. And now it's getting infected, and it's sore, and it's red. What would you do? He said, well, I'd probably, you know, get it out. I said, maybe take, you know, a needle and some alcohol and some tweezers. And I said, that's a lot like a procedure. Right? That is a little mini operation. I said, why wouldn't you just believe for it to dematerialize? God could do it. Y'all are quiet. God could do it. Right? Why not believe for it to dematerialize? And then you don't use any means. You see, what people say they believe concerning their body, they're not consistent with it in other areas of their life. They're not that way with their car.
That's right.
Huh? Yes. Car has a problem. A lot of times I'm not saying it's okay, but a lot of times they don't even pray about it. They just take it to the shop.
Right.
Well, could God fix the car without the shop?
Oh, yes.
If he can't, he's not God.
Right.
Huh? Yeah, but what if the transmission's broken and I need a new torque converter and I need some new this and that? You don't think, you know, God creates solar systems. You don't think he could fix a transmission?
I'm pretty sure he could.
Yeah. Huh?
But he's got the right wrench.
But why don't you immediately go to that like people do with their bodies? Huh? No. People don't labor over it. They just take the car to the shop. And if you believe it for something, you believe for the money to pay the bill. Huh? And there's nothing wrong with that. But why don't you take the stand that people do over their bodies? Well, I'm just going to believe for a miracle in my motor, a miracle in my transmission. Same thing with your house. If somebody said, you know, you've got a little termite problem in the corner of the house over there, why wouldn't you believe God for angels to come? Huh? Believe God for the glory to fall on that part of the house. And God recreate the... Now you're laughing, but I'm not joking. Huh? How is that different from saying, I'm not going to use a procedure or a medicine. I'm just going to believe for a creative miracle.
Hmm? I hear you.
And there are times when people could do some things that would help them, and they haven't. And it got worse and worse and worse, and they left early. Now, I've seen both. I've seen both. I have seen people that shouldn't have had operations. They died on the table. They shouldn't have had that. And I've seen others, a number of others, who should have had an operation. And they might have still been here with us. Y'all are quiet. You've got to fight. You've got to do what you know to do. It's too easy to be passive. And it's too easy to be scared. And you need to be honest with yourself why you're not doing something. A lot of times people don't do a procedure because of fear. And a lot of times people don't do it because of money. Maybe they don't have insurance or whatever. That's not being led by the Spirit. That's not faith. Are y'all okay? You got to fight. I said you got to fight. Well, when you fight, you use what's available to you. Right? If you're fighting against an opponent that's a real rough one, and you got a good stick laying over here, pick up that stick. Is that right? Pick up that stick. If there's a rock over it, get your rock. Get your brick. Is that right? Use what's available to you. Fight. Hit it early. Hit it hard. Don't play with it. Are y'all okay? Look with me in Isaiah, the 38th chapter. Isaiah 38. Did you know that one of the 12 disciples is a doctor? Is that right?
Yes.
Luke. In Colossians, he is referred to as Luke, the beloved physician. Now, if the Lord was against natural means in any degree, then when Luke became one of the 12, he would have dropped the physician connotation. He did not. And Jesus said this. Matthew recorded it. Mark recorded it. Luke recorded it. He said, it's not the whole that need a physician. He said, but the sick need a physician. Now, if the Lord was against, natural medicine in any way, he would not have used that comparison and illustration. You don't use an illustration you're not in full agreement with to exemplify a spiritual truth. Doctors and medicine are fighting the same enemy naturally that we're fighting spiritually. We fight it from the inside. They fight it from the outside. And we ought to gang up on it. Is that a gang up on it? Fight it from the inside. Fight it from the outside. Knock it out. Knock it down. And live your full life. Amen. Don't be shorted. Amen. Don't be robbed a day of what you should have. Amen. Is that okay? Amen. Jesus said, they that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick.
Yes.
Now, Jesus didn't need a doctor because he was not sick.
Amen.
So if you and I are sick, we're already in a different place than where he operated.
Amen.
He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses and carried our pains at the scourging post and the cross to provide for us the spiritual benefit the solution to the sickness problem. But you live in a physical world too. And he is not opposed to doctors and medicine. And anybody that implies that he is some way, or that it's somehow it's not, you're not fully being spiritual, if you use these things, they don't know what they're talking about. I want you to think about this. Brother Oral Roberts, arguably the strongest healing evangelist in his generation and more. You talk about seeing miracles and amazing things. And later in his life, he used all the faith he had to create a medical school and build a hospital. Why would he do that? Did he not know what a miracle was? Did he not know what God could do?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah. But you need both.
Amen.
I said you need both.
Yes.
A lot of times you need the medical help to make it a little longer till you can get some faith.
Right.
Help you out. And then nothing will benefit you properly unless you mix faith with it. Whether it's a medicine, whether it's a procedure, whether it's laying on of hands, prayer, you got to mix faith with it. Are you not going to get the benefits or nearly the full benefits?
Yes, yes.
It is not an either or situation.
Yes,
yes. Either trust God or go to the doctor.
Yes,
yes. It is not. You got in the medical profession, just like any profession, you've got people that know God and love God and people who don't.
Right.
But there are people, doctors and physicians assistants and nurses and researchers that are called to that profession just like I'm called to preach.
Yes.
And they are anointed.
Yes.
There are individuals who are anointed. They are anointed.
Yes.
God's hand comes on their hands in the operating room.
Yes.
God's spirit comes on their mind.
Yes.
Whew. And that's who you want. That's who you want in the room with them. And faith is involved. Did you hear that testimony today? And Phyllis didn't know what I was going to preach on today. But the man that they said was dead for 5 minutes. Well, would it have been the same if he hadn't have been in the operating room with these doctors and with these machines? Do we just assume it would have been the same? No, they had a part in this. Right? And God used them. In Isaiah 38, are you there? Verse 1 says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. And just to be clear, not live. Now, it's one thing if you get a bad diagnosis and prognosis from the doctor. But when God's mouthpiece tells you, you're going to die. Well, you pretty much know it's up, right? It's done. But Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Everybody said prayed.
Prayed.
And he pled his case with the Lord and supplicated and cried. And verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, go. Say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add to your days 15 years. Just like that. Just like that. Not dying now. You got 15 years of good life added to you after a prayer.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Thank God.
Now, see, people have different ideas about the relationship of faith and medicine. And there are a number of people, they see faith and prayer as useless, even a hindrance. Some in the medical profession see it that way. And then there are others who see prayer as just a nice little add-on to what men do. Yeah, something to just kind of keep your spirits up, you know. But the reality is, faith and prayer should be first.
That's right.
Paramount. Huh? And then medicine and that field is a natural helps to that.
That's right.
Huh? And God can do it with it or without it.
Yes, He can.
Are y'all listening?
Yes.
But no, prayer is not a help to medicine.
No.
Hmm? Medicine can be a natural help. But the spiritual side is the most important. The issues that are a problem with medicine is that, number one, men are so limited in their knowledge. Don't get mad at doctors if they can't diagnose your situation or if the treatment is not effective. They're not God. They don't know everything. They're practicing. And we thank God for them. But we just need to understand there is so much they don't know. And people act like, well, man, we have arrived. We hadn't begun to arrive. Thank God we're better off than we were 100 years ago. Thank you, Lord. But if the world continues another 100 years with developments, people will look back to now and go, they did what? But it's all we know. And the other thing is, you know, putting all your faith in the arm of flesh instead of God. That is not okay. Jeremiah said, if you do that, there's a curse that goes with that. But if you'll trust God, you'll flourish. Hallelujah. And so you never, whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, whoever it is, you never just put your life in their hands and say, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. No. No. Somebody say no.
No.
No. You pray about every part of it. Huh? You take it before the Lord and you ask Him, should I do this? And if people say, well, you got to do it. No, I ain't got to do it. Huh? No. That's all they know. But you look to Him and you ask Him. But you need to be honest with yourself and not just avoid any kind of treatment because you don't want to do it and because you're afraid of it or because of money. And there can be a pride element. I don't have to do what most everybody else has to do. Huh? There can be a pride element, and man, that's a problem because the proud don't get grace.
Right, that's right.
They get resisted. You got to humble yourself. And I mean, who wants to volunteer for an operation? Who, you know, hardly anybody, you know, wants to take a medicine that might have a side effect. No, you don't want to. But you wanting to is not a leading. You being afraid to is not a leading. And you got to fight.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And if there's a good brick laying there, grab it. Yes. Is that right? Is a stick laying? Yes. Fight.
Yes.
Fight with what you got.
All right.
Skip down to the latter part of the chapter here. Verse 20, Isaiah 38, 20, he said, the Lord was ready to save me. Think about that. When the Lord told the prophet to go tell him he's going to die, the Lord was actually ready to save him. He was telling him, did God change? God doesn't change. What happened? Hezekiah changed.
Yes. Yes.
There was a heart adjustment. There were some changes made there in that prayer, in that crying and repentance. And he said, the Lord was ready to save me the whole time. Mm. Keep reading. So we'll sing songs to stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster on the boil, and he shall recover. Really? This is a dressing. This is like an ointment dressing. Well, they just got through talking about a sign and wonder where the clock went backwards. And here, he's spared from dying. And 15 years added. Why do we need a poultice? Because God said. Amen. Y'all going to help me or not? Yes. God said, get a poultice.
Yes.
Put a dressing on it.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Man, if you got a wound, you got a cut, you got an injury,
yes,
should you labor over whether I clean it out and sew it up or not? Now you always check your heart and you do what the Lord tells you to do. But too many people are struggling about this and laboring over this. Should I? Shouldn't I? You should be inclined to use what's available unless the Lord tells you something different. Because you're already doing it with your car, your house, your groceries, your cooking, everything else. It's inconsistent then to say, well, I don't need that in this area.
Right.
You need to do what the Lord tells you.
Yes.
Are there times he would tell you to go to the doctor?
Yes.
There are.
Yes.
I know my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, years ago when he was on the road, he said the Lord prompted him, call your wife. Mm-hmm. And They didn't do long distance calls because of the expense until at the end of the week. And he said, well, I'll get to her. And he said, man, the Lord was strong. Call her now. And so he did. He went to the phone and he called her. And while he was dialing, the Spirit of God said, tell her, go to the doctor right now. Not tomorrow, now. Tell her, get up, get somebody to get her to the doctor now. Well, she's like, now? And he said, now. And so she went. And the doctor said, if you'd have been another day or two, you probably wouldn't have made it. There was a situation she wasn't even aware of. Well, then she lived for, what would it have been, 50 years after that? Well, he was raised off a deathbed from incurable heart problems and paralysis. Couldn't God just touch her? Quit trying to figure it out in your head. Quit trying to reason things. That's not faith. God knows where your faith is at today. He knows where you're at today. Just listen to him and do what he said. And here we got a miracle of miracles, and yet here's a poultice. Here's a dressing. Take this and put it on the boil. Can you see something powerful working from the inside? And then we also did something from the outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
The objective is live. Can y'all agree? The objective is live. And live your whole life. And not be cut short. But you got to fight. You got to fight with what you have. Go with me to the New Testament. Book of Timothy. There, 1 Timothy 5, there's a lot to say about these things, but can't cover it all in one Sunday morning. You're okay with this interruption to our series? 1 Timothy 5, 23. If you read through these previous four chapters and into this fifth chapter, the Spirit of God through Paul is talking about some tremendously serious spiritual things, and the church and leadership and structure. And here in verse 23, he says, oh, and by the way, drink no longer water. Now, other translations say, don't be a water-only drinker, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Really? Weymouth says, no longer be a water drinker, but take a little wine for the sake of your digestion and your frequent ailments. Now, I don't know what the situation was. I don't know what the water situation was in their area or city, or what the wine situation was. But I know the Holy Spirit didn't just tell him, hey, you need to believe God about that stomach thing. Get in faith. Huh? No. He tells him to make a change, we could say, in his diet. Now, like one individual said, using a little wine for your stomach is not a justification for large quantities of whiskey to destroy your liver or brain cells. Huh? I know years ago, in the early days of my ministry, I was speaking sometimes 20 times a week. That's a lot. And there were more than once I lost my voice. And, you know, just couldn't speak beyond this. Well, it's hard to preach like that. And this happened. This must have happened over a couple of years, a dozen times. And I'd speak over it, and then a month or so, it happened again. And so I sought the Lord about it, and I finally got quiet, you know, in the floor, just laying there praying, and just got quiet for a minute, and it came up right out of my spirit. Turn off the fan, put on a T-shirt when you sleep. Because I like to sleep under the fan blowing on me with no shirt on. Well, could God fix that without a... Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Y'all are laughing at me. Couldn't God fix that?
Yes.
That's beside the point. Should I do what he told me to do?
Yes.
Or not?
Yes.
So I didn't do it initially. I was a little bit slow about it. But then I had another incident of it, and I thought, well, that's dumb. Let me just do what he told me to do. And so from that day to this, I don't sleep under the direct fan, and I wear a T-shirt. And could it be that simple? Well, hadn't been having problems. Right? See, sometimes people try to make something so hyper-spiritual. And the Lord told him something to do, but it's too simple, it's too easy, it's too natural for him. And listen to this. There was another situation to where I had a dream in the nighttime, but it wasn't an ordinary dream. It was so real. I mean, it was. I was in an exam room, just like at the doctor's. You know how they got that paper sometimes on the table, yeah, and I'm sitting there, and somebody walked in and pulled a chair up and sat, you know, just like the doctor will do, sat down beside me, and I knew when they did, it was either the Lord or the angel of the Lord. I'm not clear on which it was, but I knew it. And he just pulls up and rolls up the chair beside me and looks at me, he says, Keith, you are deficient in electrolytes and certain amino acids. And just like that, I woke up. It was so clear to me. That must have been 30 years ago. And you hear how I told it? It's just that clear to me now. And I said, wow. I just set up my thought. Electrolytes and certain amino acids. I thought, huh, okay. And didn't do a thing about it. I got busy. Like you never did anything. I got busy. And it wasn't but just 2 or 3 days. I started feeling really bad. And I knew something was wrong. And boy, that came back to me. I thought, okay. So we had some friends of ours. Their son was in medical school at the time. So I called him. I asked him about that. He said, oh, yeah, that can be quite serious. I said, well, what do I need to do? So he told me some things, and I did it. It cleared up in a day.
Amen.
Well, why would the Lord tell me that? Can't he do it?
Yes.
Miraculously,
yes.
Spectacularly. Well, but see, he's also the one that made natural laws.
Yes.
He's also the one that made the natural parts of the body.
Yes.
He's not going to change all the laws of nature because we won't listen. Now, he's merciful. And what faith does, you know, a number of the miracles that you see in Jesus' ministry. For instance, the man with the withered hand. Jesus told him, stretch forth your hand. Well, could God heal him without him doing that?
Yes.
Ability-wise, for sure. But that's not what he did, and that's not how he did it. What did he say? And sometimes I had read that, and I thought, you know, he extended his arm. That's not what it said.
Yeah.
Stretch forth your hand. He can't do that. That's the part of his body that's withered up and damaged somehow. Can you see this? But what happened? Faith does what it can do. Come on, y'all listening to me or not? Faith does what it can do, expecting God to do what I can't do. Come on, y'all, can you see it? And when he extended his hand, he got to the end of his ability to do it. He met the power of God. But did he do something? He did something. The woman with the issue of blood did something. Come on, can you see that? Over and over again, they did something. They did what they could do. They didn't sit there and do nothing. And say, well, just let nature take its course. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, and we're finishing, I think. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18. Somebody say, fight. The good fight. Of faith. Lay hold. This is going to take some effort, some energy. You can't be passive. Hebrews 6, don't turn there, but you go into Proverbs. But Hebrews 6:11 says, I desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope or expectation to the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what?
Patience.
Now that word patience means endurance. It's the word for persistence and endurance. It's not enough to believe God real strong for 3 days. And then quit. You got to stay with it. And if you've been attacked with something, and people say, well, you know, you've got terminal this or terminal that or chronic this or incurable this or that. What you don't do as a believer is just plop down and cry and say, well, I guess that's it. No, no. This is not God's will for your body to be destroyed and for you to be robbed of years of your life. This is not the will of God. This is the enemy attacking you. We're going to fight this.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And we win.
Yes.
We're going to fight this. And you fight it with everything in you. You fight it from the inside. It's okay to fight it from the outside. Huh? Again, you pray about everything. You don't just do something people tell you to do. And you don't try any and everything that's out there. You pray about it. You see what I have a witness about. And so here he says, don't be slothful. That word slothful means sluggish or idle or lazy. Don't be lazy. You can be lazy spiritually and just do nothing. And act like, well, I'm in faith. Faith that does nothing won't save you. That's a quote from James. Now look in Proverbs. Proverbs. Let me see. What did I say to you? 18 and verse 9. 18 and 9. He that is slothful, there's that word again. Slothful. What is slothful? It means you lay around and you do nothing. You don't even try. When you could, fight.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now listen to these other, the Septuagint, which is a highly respected Greek translation. It says, a man who helps not himself by his labor or by his work. Isn't that the word we saw in James? Faith without a work or an effort is brother of him that ruins himself. And listen to the Amplified. The Amplified. Verse 9, he who is loose and slack in his brother, in his work, is a brother to him who is a destroyer. And he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide. Not even trying is akin to committing suicide. Is that okay?
No.
To be lazy?
No.
And just not try?
No.
We have seen, I have seen miracles under my hand. I have seen growths disappear under my hand. I have seen shoulders that were locked up, instantly loosed. I have seen ears that were deaf open. I have seen bones that were severed. One, actually, this guy was a surgeon in his foot. So he's a doctor. He knows. And he had a cast on. And I saw those bones instantly put back together. And he took the cast off and jumped on the foot.
Wow.
In the service. We believe in these things. But I've also seen a number of good people that I think should still be with us. But they wouldn't fight. They wouldn't use the, you know, I didn't finish telling you about my elder. When I told him that about the splinter, he sat back in his chair. He said, huh? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to pray about this. Month later, he had the procedure. Overcame, healed up in a couple of weeks. Lived for decades without that problem. Huh? And it's not like it was do that or have faith. You use your faith for the procedure and for the healing. I don't know. We just saw this recently. It would be into the hundreds of times now, hundreds of times that we have prayed over our people when they're having a surgery or some kind of a procedure or treatment. We always say, Lord, we ask your hand on the doctors and the nurses and their assistance and on every piece of equipment. We ask, Lord, that you'd help them to get good rest the night before and strengthen them. And anything that they should not do, check them. Keep them back from making mistakes or causing any harm or any damage. Anything they're not aware of, reveal it to them. Is this spiritual?
Yes.
Somebody getting a word of knowledge in the middle of an operation? This is spiritual. This is not just nothing. This is significant. And then we say, Lord, we ask you, help them to do the best work they have ever done. I have seen numerous times when the surgeon came back to talk to the people, you know, after the surgery, he was smiling. His smiles. And when I saw the smile, I thought, you've done some of the best work you've ever done in your life because you had somebody else in the OR with you helping you. And then we say, Lord, you're the one that put healing in the body to begin with, that created the immune system. We're asking you, speed up the healing process, working in them, cause them to heal up correctly and quickly and completely.
Amen.
And we have seen remarkable results. We've seen amazing results. We've seen both. So, What's the answer? What's the final analysis of this? You got to fight.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
If you don't even try, and if you ignore things that could help you and play games and pretend just because you're scared or because of money or whatever, it's like committing suicide.
Yes.
Hmm? But if you will fight, nothing's too hard for the Lord. You can overcome and you can live your full life and live it in a full way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can live and finish your course with joy. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. Praise you, Lord.